You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The question is, does every person have a body and a soul? Jesus clearly answers that troubling question.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
O God of the living and author of life, enable all men and women and children to recognize the importance of their soul. Teach us to care for our bodies, but even more important, enable us to nourish our soul by reading your word, by worshiping you and you alone, and by meeting with you in prayer every day. Cause us, O Lord, to turn from the temptations of this world and to trust only in the redeeming and life-giving merits of your Son, Jesus Christ. Then, O Lord, when our last hour shall come, take us joyfully from this vale of tears to be with you in heaven forevermore. In Jesus' intercessory name we pray. Amen. In every generation, the controversy continues to rage. Some people claim that every person has a body and a soul. Others argue, however, that there is no such thing as a human soul. In Arizona, a wealthy man struggled over this question. When he died, in his will, he left $230,000. This, he said, was to be used for research leading to scientific proof of the existence of the soul. In the Bible, in the Old Testament alone, the soul is mentioned over 750 times. Some references speak of life in general. Others refer to that part of every person which lives on after the body has died. Our Lord Jesus Christ clarified the matter. Jesus spoke of both the body and of the soul. Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but are unable to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Our gracious God in Jesus Christ is stating the warning clearly. Look out for the devil. Vicious cancer, unexpected car accidents, terrible wars, violent murders may kill your body, but these tragedies will never be able to touch your soul. It is the devil, through his cunning and deception and viciousness, who is working every hour to destroy your soul forever in the fires of hell. But don't be discouraged. By the solemn biblical warnings of the evil one, the Bible also teaches that Jesus, the Son of God, appeared for this purpose, that Jesus might destroy the works of the devil. Now, when you and I live apart from God, we are part of the devil's work. And so we need to become a new person in Jesus Christ. The old has to die, the new has to spring up powerfully and victoriously alive. This is what happens when God gives His children the free gift of faith. The old man, the flesh, still exists. But the new person, born of water and of the Spirit, is in control. Only then can the works of the devil in our lives be destroyed. Only then can we work the works of God and walk in the newness of life. St. Paul says in Romans chapter 6, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, but now, having been freed from sin and a slave to God, you derive your benefits resulting in sanctification and the outcome eternal life. For the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." When we fall into the temptation of disliking or even teasing members of our own family, or disobeying our parents, or passing on gossip or laziness, these are works of the devil. This is when the old sinful self is in control. Avoiding worship, omitting Bible study, and failing to pray, these are works of the devil. Failure to help our neighbor whose marriage is being broken up by divorce, or not helping the children and the teenagers who are innocent victims of these divorces, this is the work of the devil. Through a God-given faith in the crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus, you and I can unswervingly possess a special power to conquer all of life's disrupting and soul-destroying temptations. This special spiritual strength is found and firmly anchored in the reliable foundation of the Christian faith. This foundation is the glorious and victorious Easter morning resurrection of the crucified Christ. In Romans chapter 6 we read, "For if we have become united in Him, in Jesus, in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection." No, don't dabble with the devil. Don't gamble your future. Let God be the center of your life in all that you think and all you do and whatever you say. Don't refuse God's call for a new life. Let the Spirit of God plant the seed of a new person in your heart. And when God has planted this seed, then you nourish it. Read the Bible regularly, and let your soul feed on the bread of His Word. Pray daily and worship each week. Your faith will grow, and you will become a new and stronger person. But this new man and this new strength comes only by God's power, and never by our own feeble efforts. Always remember, you don't have just a body, you also have a soul. And it is your soul that the devil is most interested in. This is a very, very serious matter. And so let us never lay our lives open like massive floodgates, blatantly issuing an open invitation to Satan to pounce upon our weaknesses. No wonder St. Peter warned, "Be sober, be vigilant. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, roams about seeking whom he may devour." Refuse to permit worldly possessions to become your most important thing, for if you do, you are asking for trouble. By faith, establish the riches of heaven as your goal, and never rest your eternal hopes on human righteousness. Instead, for heavenly assurance, trust only the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ, and trust only in His sin-cleansing and life-giving blood. God is your refuge and strength. He is your ever-present help in trouble. Yes, God is your strength, and even if the earth should move, or the mountains slip into the heart of the sea, or nuclear war devastate the entire creation, there is no need for you to fear. The Lord of hosts is with you. The God of Jacob is your stronghold. You see, the Bible tells you, and the biblical promise is simply this: God will never let you down. Your friends might, but Jesus won't. Of course, many of us say we know all this in our hearts, and yet all of us are daily tempted to build our lives and establish our futures on the crumbling foundations of material things. Several months ago, a young California businessman struck it rich. He began an unusually successful computer business. And then, on the brink of success, he left his office one afternoon. His high-speed sports car careened out of control, and the young man was killed instantly. Now, once again, let's talk about the body and the soul as Jesus did. What do you think happened to the soul of this wealthy young California businessman? We don't really know. But Jesus told this parable saying, "The lands of a certain rich man were very productive. And this man began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?' So the man said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I will store all my grain and my goods. And then I will say to myself, soul, you have many good things laid up for many years to come. Take your ease and eat and drink and be merry.' Then, however, unexpectedly, God said to this man, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you." Now God asks, "Who will own what you have prepared?" So is the man, the Bible says, who lays up treasures for himself and is not rich toward God. From time to time on television, we are given day-to-day reports of wars raging in various countries. We are also told some gruesome details and who is winning. War is indeed a terrible thing, but did you know that the devil has also declared an open, bloody war on your soul? This is true. Not because I have said it. It is Jesus who reminds us, "Fear him who is able to destroy both your soul and your body in hell." Yes, the battle goes on. Thousands don't even seem to be aware of being in a life and death struggle for the eternal welfare of their souls. Medical doctors, slaves of their investments, become casualties. Lawyers, blinded by their driving desires to establish large property investments, become casualties. Farmers hoarding their acreages and always reaching for more become casualties. Businessmen, wrapped up and blinded by expensive insurances, IRAs, pensions, and other securities, and blinded from keeping the primary question of the eternal welfare of their soul in perspective, become casualties. Housewives and mothers, distracted by daily pressures and tricked by Satan into avoiding prayer and time with their Lord, become casualties. Be sober, be vigilant, the Bible warns, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is seeking to devour you. Now listen to this. We do have a hope. During his earthly ministry, our Lord Jesus Christ was endlessly tempted by the devil. It was a constant, furious, day-to-day, hour-by-hour, minute-by-minute battle. But then on Good Friday, it all came to a climax, and your future and mine hung in the balance. The final blows of the match were struck, Jesus versus the devil. Our gracious and innocent and loving Lord Jesus voluntarily gave up his life, and when Jesus died on the cross, he busted the grip of the devil. With authority, Jesus cried out and announced his victory to the world and said, "It is finished." It was, as the hymn writer rejoiced, "The strife is o'er, the battle is won." The cold tomb could not hold back the Savior. On Easter morning, Jesus rose triumphant from the grave, and the angel said, "He is not here. He has risen just as he said he would." And for all of us, the glorious news is this: you and I can not only observe this event, but also participate in this glorious victory. There is no need to wait for our death and resurrection. We can enjoy the Savior's temptation-defeating power at this very hour. Yes, Jesus lives within the hearts of all those who turn from the world and trust in him alone. And just as Jesus lives within believers, so also does the power of his victorious and devil-defeating resurrection. The devil will always try to get the upper hand in this life. Life on this side of heaven will always be a struggle. And yet, when Jesus lives within you by faith, you can be absolutely assured of the final victory. Now listen to this glorious news as I read it from the Bible. I am quoting, "God has forgiven us all our sins. Christ has utterly wiped out the damning evidence of broken laws and commandments which always hung over our heads and completely annulled it by nailing it over his own head on the cross." And then the Bible says, "Having drawn the sting of the powers ranged against us, Jesus exposed them, shattered and empty and defeated in his final glorious and triumphant act." By his death and resurrection, Jesus busted the terrible grip of the one who is now seeking to destroy your soul. And even though the devil's head is bruised, on this side of heaven, he will still be on the prowl, disrupting lives and destroying souls. At this hour, I plead with you, by the power of God, establish your sure defense in the Easter victory of the Blessed Redeemer. Live in him, and let Jesus live in you. Grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ. Feed on his word. He will strengthen you. Yes, Jesus will guard you from the temptations of the devil, and he will guarantee you a place in his eternal kingdom. Believe this and live. Amen.